Blog Talk Radio.
Come on.
Are very familiar with the passage of scripture found in Acts 27,
when we get over to verse 44. I'm not going to go over the whole backdrop of the lesson tonight because we are fairly familiar with it, I do believe. But we know that Paul was on his way to Rome, and he was to go before the council there and be tried there. But God was sending him for a purpose. God had sent him. God gave him a word that let him know that he was going to be safe. But in the midst of getting there, he ran into a great, great storm, a horrific storm. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight as it pertains to our lives. But let's look at these last two verses in Acts 27. It says, "But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they all escaped, all safe, to land." Now, this is what we're going to deal with here tonight, is that the storm shall not prevail. Now, some have preached this message, and you've heard it preached many, many times, and you may say, well, what else can we get out of that particular passage of Scripture? But we do know that God had a purpose for Paul, and he told him in Acts 23 and 11 that just as he witnessed, he said, "As you witnessed for me in Jerusalem, so must you also bear witness in Rome." Now, Paul then was destined to be in Rome. But on his journey there, he runs into this horrible storm in the ship where he was kept as one of the prisoners. But what he had in the midst of the storm to hold on to was what God had told him. He said, "You must also bear witness in Rome." Now, those on the ship thought for sure they were going to die. So he had to hold on to what God had told him, and that knowing that he was destined to do more in his life, even in the midst of a mighty storm, and everybody on the ship realizing that things were out of control, Paul knew a God who was in control, even when everything seemed out of control. And that's what we need to know, is that God can yet have his way even in the midst of the storm. Now, there's some other things we want to point out here, but I want you to take note of the fact that they ended up having to persevere and go forth even on broken pieces. You know, there are going to be times in all of our lives that we're going to deal with storms, real storms, but we have to live our lives in such a way that we're going to believe upon God's word. And, you know, I tell you that all the time, and it's hard to know exactly where we stand until we are faced with opposition, until the storms do come in our lives. And that's when we really do have to take hold of the word of God, because everything around us can be speaking contrary. The winds were contrary. The waves were contrary. They were at sea over 14 days. They had not eaten. And so Paul was being taken captive to Rome, and with the understanding that he would eventually die there. But he went through many, many storms as he was journeying. But God wants us to know that even in the midst of storms, he brought him out of that, and he wants you to know that he's bringing you out of every storm that you go into. But listen, the thing about it is, God didn't send a calm in the midst of this great storm that they were experiencing. Yet, the Lord came to him, telling him not to fear, because God had given him his life, and the angel said, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." That's Acts 27 and 24. So the first thing I want you to know is God's with you in the storm. And what you need to hold on to is what God has spoken before the storm. In other words, God has given vision and destiny for our lives. We have to know, first of all, who he is and what he has said. So in the midst of the storm, the Spirit of the Lord will speak. So that's what we want to realize, is that God will speak in the midst of your storm. But if we're pulled in a direction where we can't hear God, where we're fearful, then the noise is all around us, and the calamity of the storm will drown the voice of God. This is why, if you notice, and I point this out a lot, that the Spirit of the Lord generally tells individuals in the Word, one of the first things he'll say is, fear not. You know, and that's because fear comes to oppose our faith and get us off track. And so in Acts 27 and 24, that's one of the first things that the angel of the Lord said. He said, fear not, Paul. You know, you're going to be brought before Caesar. God has given you everybody who's in this ship. Nobody's going to be lost, even though you see all of this going on. 276 people. In verse 37, it says, "And we were all in the ship, 216 souls." That's 276. But they, because of Paul, were encouraged, because the Spirit of the Lord had come to Paul. Paul began to take courage, and he began to eat. He said, "Listen, verse 33. You guys haven't eaten for 14 days. Okay, this is the 14th day. We've been tarrying. We've been fasting. We've been waiting." But listen, it's time to eat now. You know, eat. This is good for your health. You're going to need strength. Because why? He knew they needed strength for the journey. He knew that at the end of it, there would be deliverance. But in the midst of it, what we need to realize is that God didn't just bring a great calm and bring everybody out. No, they were in the storm. And it was a turbulent storm. But God was with them, and God was speaking to his servant and saying, you got to let the people know not to fear. You know, you got to let the people know that they're going to have to take something within themselves. They took here bread. You know, Paul took the bread and blessed it and gave thanks to God in the presence of all of them. And he broke it and he began to eat. And then they began to take courage. So as we, in the midst of our storm, are breaking the bread of life, you know, God gives us his word. And when we do that in the presence of all those around us who are experiencing the storm, they know that it's heavy. They realize that there seems to be no way out. But Paul began to take courage because of what God had said. And then verse 36 lets you know everybody around him, you know, they began to take courage. They began to have good cheer. And they took some meat. So they began to eat. But God is giving us this to know, in the midst of your circumstance, you yet have to take unto yourself something that's going to sustain you in the midst of the storm, the meat of the Word of God. And as you do it, God will strengthen you. God will bring joy to your heart, even in the midst of. God will bring cheer not only to you, but to those around you. And what happened? As they began to get strengthened, they realized that, listen, if we're going to be saved, we're going to have to be willing to get rid of some things that are weighing our vessel down. So when they had taken enough and eaten enough, they began to lighten the ship. They began to cast things off of the ship. He was on a ship really now from Alexandria. He had been transferred to another ship, and we're to understand in this scripture that this ship perhaps carried a lot of grain and what have you, but they began to offload things off of the ship. And as they did that, then that was helpful. That was needful. And God is saying, even in the midst of what we're going through, as you go through calamity, know that he's with us. But it gives us an opportunity then to take inventory. What is it that could be making this journey that you're on, even though you're in the midst of the storm, God is with you? What is it that's causing things to be heavier than they need to be? What is it that's bringing detriment to your journey? Because God has already promised that you're going to get to the next stage and place in your life. But what is it that needs to be cast off? You know, oftentimes in the midst of those turbulent situations, God uproots some things and gives us to understand what has to be tossed aside, what has to be tossed out and done away with. But he's going to save us alive and those who are connected to us. This is why we have to understand that when you walk in the favor of God and God is with you and people are connected to you, it means a lot. You know, you intercede for them. You pray for them. You hold them up because God has connected us and made us one. We're one body. And it was because of Paul that these others were saved, because the angel of the Lord made the promise to him, telling him not to have fear, not to have fear in doing what God's purpose was for his life. The angel of the Lord came to assure Paul of safety, to assure him of security, to let him know, listen, you know, you all can go ahead and eat, just be of good cheer, don't worry. You know, not only for you, Paul, but all those who are with you, you don't have to worry about anything because God is supplying the need. And so this is where we stand today. Even in the midst of your storm, whatever it is, I want you to know that the storm shall not prevail because God has already spoken concerning your life and where it is that you're going. But the enemy wants us to think that God's not in it when we don't see the storm subside. They had been praying. They had been calling out. Don't you know that Paul, and during those 14 days as they were fasting, we know that he had to be praying. I believe there are others on that ship that began to cry out as well. But the storm didn't cease. As a matter of fact, we read that it grew worse and worse, and they began to throw things overboard. And then some had talked about, well, look, let's just act like we're going to, you know, put the rudders down and whatever, but we're going to really jump ship. But Paul said, listen, if anybody leaves this ship, we're going to all be lost. Everybody is to remain in the ship. And they took heed to what he had said because they realized, listen, he told us not to get back out here in the first place, but we went against that, and here we are. So they went ahead with what he had said and committed themselves to stay within the ship. So the soldiers thought to kill the prisoners. They said, well, look, we don't want any of them to escape, so let's kill them. But Paul had found favor with the centurion, and he wanted to save Paul alive, and that kept everyone else alive. You following it? When God has favor upon your life, you never know the influence and the impact that it's having upon someone else. And so God, because he had purpose for Paul, kept him and kept everyone else. And when they finally ran aground, you know, it was just so harsh that the hinder part of the vessel was broken. The waves were violent, and the hinder part of the vessel was broken in verse 41. But I want you to think about here what God did. God's plan was in effect in the midst of all of that, okay? Many things happen that cause us to think that we've been defeated, that come to bring discouragement. But God is saying, my plan is not always enjoyable. You're going to see times when you're going to have hardships. I know we don't hear that preached much. We don't want to hear that. We don't want to see that. But perilous times will come. But God is with his people. And that's what gives us joy, is because we feast on this word. This morning before I left here, before I left home today, I don't know about you, but I was enjoying some time with the Lord. And he began to deal with me about us being in spiritual warfare. And what we have to understand is the weapon of God is as close as our next breath. We have to use the word of God. And that's what I'm saying, even in the midst of this storm. As Paul 8, it signified to me that, listen, don't start fasting from the word of God. You know, we need to feast on the word and find out what the Lord is saying to us as we are fulfilling his plan. Paul wasn't going through this as a form of chastisement. No, he was fulfilling the plan of God. So, you know, don't start thinking the negative just because you're going through. Yes, we want to take inventory, of course. And those things that need to be tossed over out of our lives, we're going to do that. But God hasn't promised us a journey that's free from storms. But he's promised to be with us in the midst of all things. He's an anchor. He'll take us all the way through. He can get us to the other side. He can get us from earth to glory. He can get us from our present place to our next stop on the journey. And that's what was happening to Paul. Now think about this. As the ship broke up, some were out there floundering on pieces, just broken pieces of the ship. And sometimes it seems like our ship has been broken. Our life is sometimes seemingly in ruins. But look at this. Out there floundering on broken pieces. Have you ever, some of us may not want to get in water, so it may not be the best analogy, but if you've ever been in the water and you've held onto a board, be it a floating board or whatever, you hold on to that and kind of kick your feet in the water to just keep yourself afloat. Well, the thing about that, when you're doing it, you have to have a sense of direction, and as you kick your feet, you're propelling yourself in a certain direction. But when you think about that and you're holding on that board is what's keeping us afloat. And our feet have nothing to stand on. You know, you're not standing on anything solid when you're out in the midst of the water like that. And as we think about them, they were in hundreds of feet of water. And so as they're out there, nothing is up under them. It is so significant of our lives sometimes when it seems as though we're dealing with shipwreck, when it seems that we're dealing with the ruins and the brokenness in our lives, we don't necessarily feel as though we have firm footing. But if we hold on even to the pieces, what seem to be the broken pieces in our lives, some of us are dealing with brokenness in our health or situations where we don't feel connected with the body of Christ or with our church home, or, you know, there may be family situations or relationship problems and whatever it is. But God is saying, if you just hold on to those pieces, don't discard the broken pieces, but hold on to those and keep your focus and keep your direction. And even though it seems like you don't have firm footing, God is with you. Because the thing is, God can use those things that are broken in our lives. He can use the broken pieces even to get us to the next part of our journey. Now, what do you think might have happened after these people got to the next part of their journey, and more specifically, Paul? You see, when we're out and we're floundering, it can be a bit embarrassing, but somehow or another, when you're trying to survive, you don't think about that. You don't think about what it looks like. All you're doing is looking for land. I'm thinking about in the midst of their situation. You know, I don't think anybody was like, oh, man, I'm embarrassed. I'm out here holding on to a log, and it's dark, and I'm, you know, I don't know, you know, what's going to happen to me. But they just continued to try to make their way to land, and that's what they did. And after they got to land, Paul, you got to remember, had something to say. He had to share what it was that God had done and how God had brought them through and how God had brought them out. But the thing about it is, when we are out and we're floundering and we seem to have no footing, God is saying, just hold on. Just know that I'm with you and hold on. It's not a time to give up. It's not a time to give in. And sometimes when we feel like we're floundering, it seems like a time of embarrassment and shame, but God is saying, just hold on. You know, don't be embarrassed about what it looks like. Don't worry that it seems like you can't find your footing. You hold on, and as you continue to move and propel yourself, as you're surrounded by the Spirit of God, you know, water has always signified the Spirit of God. And as you are deep within the Spirit of God and holding on, just allow yourself to be immersed in him and hold on even in the midst of your brokenness. And God is going to take you next to that place that's solid, and you can stand your ground again. You'll come aground again if you'll hold on in the midst of, you know. And so once you come out of that, what we generally want to do is then hide where it is that we've come from. We don't want anybody to know about the broken pieces that brought us over. But God is saying, once you've done that, once I've brought you back to solid ground, I need you then to talk about the journey. Too many have made it over, and they've made it through to the next place and stage in their lives. But let me tell you, they got there on broken pieces. they got there during times when it seems like they had no footing, when they were just floundering. But what they didn't realize is that they were surrounded by the Spirit of God. They were in a deep place, and they didn't even realize that the Spirit of the living God was keeping them afloat, even as they held on to their broken pieces. I hope you're following me with this. And then the Lord allowed them then to only find their salvation, their rescue in Him. And so they made it again to a place where they could find their footing. But God says that now that you've done that, I need you to open your mouth and say something about the journey. I need you to say something about how I brought you out. I want you to begin to talk about the way that I made for you, you know, and how it did seem so bleak, but I was there. You know, I was there in the midst of it all. And so God is saying to you, I have already determined, just as I did, see, Paul was given that word, you will go and be a witness for me in Rome, just as you've been in Jerusalem. So he had to hold on to that. You know, he had to know. And the Spirit of the Lord let him know that there would be those that would hear, they wouldn't understand, they would see, but they wouldn't perceive. Why? Because their heart was waxed gross. Their ears were dull of hearing. Their eyes, they chose to close their eyes. But God is saying to many of you, the storm is just a place of preparation. And don't think that it's going to ease up just because you know God. It's a time of trying and testing, but you're in a deep place with the Spirit of God, where He is keeping us afloat, and where, you know, we don't feel the solid ground, but we're surrounded by the Spirit. He'll never leave us, and He'll never forsake us. You know, that's what it is. God wants us to know it and totally depend on Him. He's saying, but what I've given to you to hang on to, those broken pieces, that's the part that's going to bring deliverance even to others. Don't hide it. Don't hide the brokenness. Once you're standing on firm ground again, I want you to stand flat-footed, and I want you to begin to tell of my goodness. Tell what I've done. Tell how I brought you out. Tell how it was when you felt that you were out there in the darkness and all alone and holding on to what seemed to be scraps and just pieces of brokenness. But your brokenness has served to make you someone who's greater, someone who is now persuaded of the goodness of God, who's persuaded of the faithfulness of God, who knows that God will not abandon us in the midst of the storm. But He is the one who speaks in the storm. He's the one. It's an awesome thing. So Paul, once he came to this place, he dwelt there for 2 whole years, and he preached the kingdom of God, and he taught the things concerning the Lord Jesus, and he did it with all confidence, and no man would forbid him. Once he came to land, because, see, he had been tested and he had been tried, and many of them realized that it was only by Paul that they even made it out anyway. And so then this one who had been persecuted, he was able then to have the grace for 2 years in his own hired house, the word says in verse 30 of chapter 28. He says, in all things he received all that came in unto him. He received them all. What was he doing? Preaching the kingdom of God, teaching those things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's a deliverer, that he's the faithful one, that he'll bring you out, that even though you're shipwrecked and people have a plan to destroy your life and they think that this is the end of you and this is your demise, he's saying God is taking you out to a deeper place in the Spirit of God, where sometimes it'll feel like you're out there all alone, it'll be dark, it'll be cold, but you're in the midst of what God is doing in the Spirit. Hold on to the broken pieces, and God is saying, I'm going to use those not only to bring you again to that place where you can stand on firm footing, but I'm going to cause you to reach back and realize what I've done, and it's the broken pieces that are going to bring deliverance, that are going to make others whole. You know, as you don't hide it, but you use it. You use it. God uses broken things. God uses broken pieces. And he uses those who will listen to him, keep our eyes on him, and realize that we have a straight, direct line with him. We can come boldly. He wants to do those things that are miraculous in our lives. You know, oftentimes we're looking for God to do something that doesn't. In other words, we're saying, God, do something miraculous, but we don't realize that we're walking in the midst of situations that for someone else is a circumstance of the miraculous. If we would but share what the Lord has done, somebody is in the midst of what it is that God has already brought you out of, and they don't see a way out. So when they hear your story, when they hear you talk about the deliverance, when they hear you talk about your shipwreck and how you thought it was the end, but you held on to the broken pieces and God brought you once again, and you're able to stand, and you're standing now with courage, and you're talking about this great God, this giving God, this gracious God, and you have no fear because you know what the Lord will do. This is the miraculous for someone else. God begins to bring deliverance to their lives. You know, God begins to take the brokenness in their lives, you know, the little things that people thought were nothing, and he'll take those things and he'll use them and he'll lift up somebody else and help them to realize, listen, the storm wasn't for nothing. You know, you were wondering why I wasn't bringing you out, but you had to come through so that you would be able to tell others that I was with you, that even in the midst of the storm, I may not have spoken and stopped the storm, but I spoke and I told you what to do in the midst of the storm. And the first thing is to not fear. The Lord always says, fear not. When you're in the midst of the storm, the first thing is to look to him and fear not, and know that God is with us in the midst of whatever it is that we're going through. He's promised to bring us out and bring us through. Oh, my God, he is such a faithful God. He's faithful, and he is our anchor in the midst of every situation. So he wants us then to live our lives in faith toward him, you know, give our all to him. Don't worry about, you know, what it looks like. And sometimes that's easier said than done. I realize that. You know, it doesn't always seem like you're on firm ground, and that's okay. That's okay, because in the spirit, we're standing on the rock, and the word of God has said, you know, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. But we're standing on the rock, which is Christ Jesus, and he's given to us the keys to the kingdom. And so what we need to understand is that we're more than conquerors, regardless to what our situation looks like and what it is that we're dealing with. And that's what I want to say to you tonight. Some of you who feel like you're holding on to broken pieces, it's okay. Some of you may feel like you're broken. You know, you're just broken. But God is saying to you, now build yourself up in the word. First of all, fear not. You know, don't let this thing get you to where you have lost your appetite for the meat. And this is what happened to those on the ship. But God said, you need a steady diet of the word of God. It's going to strengthen you for the journey. It's going to strengthen you. Take it. As Paul told them, Acts 27:34, he says, listen, wherefore I pray you, take some meat, for this is for your health. We've gone 14 days without eating. You know, God knows where we are. The angel of the Lord has spoken to him. And Paul was able then to take courage and tell them in Acts 27:34, God's going to bring us to safety, for there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. And so every day we need to know what the word of God has said and stand on that and be of good cheer and recognize that in the midst of storms, we have a way of changing the atmosphere, even though the storm won't cease. Because we know in Acts 27:36 that because they saw Paul break the bread and give thanks and give God glory and eat, then they were all, you know, filled with good cheer. And then they all were able to take of the meat. God is so faithful. God is so faithful. He did bring them to shore. Yes, some were on board, some were on broken pieces of the ship. But it came to pass. What is it that came to pass? That they escaped all safe to land. That's verse 44, and that is also the promise that God had made back in the midst of the storm. Amen? So, you know, when we see others who seem to be sinking in a sea of turmoil, and sometimes it's us or, you know, maybe a loved one or whatever it is, find what God is saying with regard to that situation. Partake of the meat of God, His word, and then strength is going to come. Guidance is going to come to you so that you can be successful and know what kind of waters they are that you're seeking to navigate. You know, God's not going to let you go down. He's going to make sure that you get to your next point in your destination. So, and it's also going to be a time of throwing things overboard. As the storm is raging, we realize, listen, there are some things here that have to be done away with in order for me, first of all, to stay afloat and get safely to where I need to go. Some of these things are just not necessary, and they need to go. And God will show you that. God will show you that. So your anchors have to be firm, you know, and that has to be in the word of God. You know, when you find yourself drifting away and it seems like there's no footing, just keep your focus. Keep your focus and keep your momentum there in the midst of the Spirit of God. You're surrounded by the Spirit of God. That water always represents the Spirit of the living God. And He is the one who ushers us to our next destination, journey after journey, one destination after another, which takes us on to fulfill the destiny that God has purposed for our lives. It's awesome. God has promised something for you. No devil in hell can stop it. Fear not. Stay in the Word. Eat the Word. Seek the Lord. And don't fret because it seems like you're in the midst of a storm right now. Don't fret. Listen for the voice of God in the storm and refuse to think that He's not with you just because the storm doesn't cease. Because sometimes the storm doesn't cease, but God has shown Himself strong not only to you but those around you in the midst of your storm. That's what happened to Paul. And then he was fortified and able to speak to those when he did come on dry land. He was able to talk about, you know, the goodness of the Lord and what the Lord had done, and talk about those broken pieces that were a part of their deliverance. Hallelujah. I know there's some broken pieces in your life that are a part of what God has done and who you are today. Those broken pieces are a part of where you stand today. So don't be ashamed of that. You know, talk to others. Show them what it is that God used to bring you over, you know. How He used something to get you to hold on to that, just that, and He brought you through safely once again. And He'll do it. He'll do it. We're so grateful. I thank God for you on tonight. God, thank you for those who have tuned in, no matter by what mode, electronically or by phone or however they've decided to join us tonight. We thank you for your great and precious people. We give you glory. We give you honor, and we give you praise on tonight, Lord. Thank you. Have your way in us, and we're so grateful that the storm will not prevail. God bless you.